Let's turn to the Gospel of John today. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, for the word today that we shall find helpful. Amen. John, chapter 6. And turning toward the back of that chapter to verse number 60. And we'll read from verse 60 to verse 71, which is the rest of the chapter. John 6, verse 60 to 71. It says this. It says, "Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. Amen. Our title today, amen, is When Things Get Hard. Amen. When things get hard. Amen. How many of you know things get hard when you live this life? Nobody has it easy. Amen. I don't care what side of the tracks you come from. I don't care how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much education you have, what family you come from. Doesn't matter. Amen. For everybody, there are times when things get hard. Amen. And when things get hard, we have to respond to those things in a certain way. Otherwise, amen, we can go, there's three places that we could end up. We're going to look at them in the scripture, amen. And we want to make sure we end up in the right camp. Amen. Right? Because it's not if things get hard. It's when things get hard.
Right.
And if it's not hard now, you've been through some hard stuff in the past.
Right.
Amen. And if it's not hard now, not only have you been through some hard stuff in the past, but there's some hard stuff up the road. Amen. I wish I could tell you it wasn't. But then again, I don't wish I could tell you that. Because see, the hard things in life are really beneficial for us. If we go through them the right way. Amen. So God wants to talk to us today about when things get hard. Why? Because things shall get hard. Amen. They've been hard before, and they will be hard again. And no one is immune. No one escapes. But see, as a child of God, that shouldn't move you. Amen. But if you really do believe the word and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it can be as hard as it wants. But don't you know that just because something's hard doesn't mean it can't get done? You know, sometimes you help your kid or your nephew or your grandchild with homework, and they'll tell you, this problem is hard. As if that means now you should now help them and do it because they can. If it's hard, then do it. You just work what? Amen. Just because something's hard, that means you might have to work hard. Doesn't mean you give up or you throw in the towel or expect other people to do it for you. Right? Things do get hard, but praise be unto God, as people of God, we can overcome all things. We are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Him who loved us. Greater is He who is within us than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
And we truly can do all things, even the hard things,
Amen.
Through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. So God wants to talk to us today about when things get hard. Let's pray first. And then hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, we give you praise and thanks on this morning, O God, this glorious day that you've made. And Father, we are now seated here, O God, and standing here, ready to hear your voice. Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. You are a communicating God. You are a God who will reveal his heart unto his people. And so, Father, we are ready to hear your voice right now. Father, we block out any and all things that would interfere with the transmission. God, we desire to hear from you right now. So, Father God, speak, O God, in that still small voice. Let the Holy Spirit open up the scriptures unto us that our eyes may be enlightened.
Yes, Father.
And, Father God, may we see the Lord Jesus in the scriptures.
Yes.
And, Father God, may our faith be kindled, O God, that we can believe on you even the more, even in the tough times. Father God, we submit to you right now. Have your way in this place. Father God, I ask that you will bless me to do your will at this hour. I decrease, Lord, that you might increase and you alone might receive the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Yes.
For you alone are worthy. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the transforming power that you are releasing right now. We shall be changed because of what we are about to hear. And Father, we give you the glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We shall be changed. Amen. So when things get hard, we just read the scripture, amen, beginning at verse number 60. And John chapter 6, though, begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000. Amen. And this feeding of the 5,000, we touched on this a few times before, that this is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. Amen. All four Gospels have the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus took two fish and five loaves of bread, amen, and he fed 5,000 people. Amen. Letting us know, amen, that Jesus can take our meager resources and multiply them. How many of you believe that? That Jesus can take small stuff. You don't have to have a lot for Jesus to do a lot with it. Amen. And when you read about the feeding of the 5,000, not only was it two fish and five loaves of bread, but it was barley bread, which was poor man's bread. See, because you can make bread out of barley or you can make it out of wheat. Wheat was like, you know, that was good bread. Barley was poor man's bread. So not only was it a few pieces of bread, but it was a few pieces of poor man's bread. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Jesus can take stuff that's not only little, but of poor quality.
Right.
And still do something great with it. That's why you don't have to worry. Who cares what school you went to? Everybody, I went to Harvard. I went to Yale. You could have went to the lowest school in the country.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus can still elevate you. Amen.
Amen.
And bring you to the pinnacle of success. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, sir.
You may not have the education. You may not have resources. You may not have certain shiny things in life. Oh, but if you give God your heart, amen, and you just give it into his hands, he can take it for quality, amen, low in number, and use it for his glory, amen. Two fish and five loaves of bread, dusty pieces of bread.
Right.
How many people got fed? 5,000 men. not counting women and children.
Yes.
He fed over 15,000 people probably, amen? And getting fed because someone just willingly gave up what they had. It's not what you have, it's whether you're willing to give it up. Are you willing to put it in God's hands? Amen? Amen. It's always been that way. Amen. That poor widow who was in debt, and the debtors were about to take her sons. Elijah said to her, what do you have? She said, I have nothing except a little oil. That's what she said. I have nothing. And see, here's the thing. Some of us got more than oil in our house. I have nothing except a little oil. And I believe when she said that, that's exactly what she meant. She had nothing else. I have just a little bit of oil. He said, good, go borrow some pots. Come back in home. Shut the door and pour out. Those are some wonderful instructions. Shut the door and pour out. Amen? And she poured out until she had no more vessels left. And how many of you know, you could sell oil back in those days, and she sold the oil, paid off her creditors, and her sons lived off the rest. Who was she? Was she some educated person? No. She was a widow with just a little bit of oil. Don't let this world try to trick you into thinking that you have to be some highfalutin person. You don't. Amen? When God puts His hands on you, He can transform your life, even if all you have to give Him is just a little bit, a little oil, a few fragments of bread and some fish. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So worry about what you have. Worry, be concerned with whether or not what you have you're willing to put in Jesus' hands. Amen. You may only have a little bit of money. Put it in His hands.
Amen.
You may only have a little bit of faith. Put that in His hands. You may be like Moses. All you got is a stick. Put that in God's hands. Amen. He made it into a rod of power. Put it in His hands.
Amen.
And so he fed the 5,000 in the beginning of John chapter 6. And then after that, Jesus walked on water. Amen. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He came and He walked on water. And they thought what? When they saw Him, they thought He was a ghost. Well, and then Peter, and Jesus said, don't be fearful, it's I. And Peter said, what? If it's you, bid me to come.
Mm-hmm.
See, Peter had a different kind of faith. We laugh at Peter, but some of us would have said, Jesus, that's you? Then come on, get in the boat.
right.
That's what we would have said.
Right.
If that's you, come on, get in. What are you standing out there for?
Right.
But Peter had a different kind of faith.
Right.
He said, if that's you, not you come here. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Bid me to come.
Right.
A lot of us want God to come here.
Mm.
I'm in a problem, Lord. Come here.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
I got a problem, Lord. I need you to come here. He's the Lord, and we're going to tell Him, come here.
Right.
No, bid me to come. Why? Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your hand, there are pleasures, your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I need to be where you are.
Wow.
Amen?
Yes,
God always needs to come first. Where are you, God? I'm over here. And that's where I need to be. It ain't about you come here. And see, some of us wouldn't want Jesus to get in the boat. Now, Jesus did get in the boat, but what a faith Peter had. If that's you, he didn't say, I'm coming. He said, beg me to come. In other words, tell me to come. We still need to take directions and command from God. Amen. Beg me to come. And so he comes, and Peter walks on water for a little while too. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus gets to the other side, amen, and then the people who were fed come after Jesus, right? And they want to know, you know, they come and they're saying all kinds of things. And how'd you get over here? And, you know, we want to work the works of God. And Jesus said, you only come in because you had the fish and the bread.
Mm.
I mean, you know, the Bible tells us the work is down to the thoughts and intents of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? God looks at our heart. He knows what we do on the surface, but he looks at our heart, and he sees where it's coming from. And Jesus wasn't fooled by them. He said, oh, you want to work the work of God, huh? They said, yeah, how can we work the works of God? He said, believe on him who he sent. And then this is what they said to him. They said, show us a sign. And Jesus said, you know, because then they start talking about how their fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And then Jesus now starts to really hit them with the word. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Amen. Moses didn't feed. First of all, he had to correct him. Moses didn't feed your fathers. Amen. That was my father who sent down the bread from heaven. But I am the true bread of heaven.
Amen.
And he said, you have to eat my flesh in order to live. What? They got mad. They started to murmur, but he said he's the bread of life. And then Jesus pressed a little further. He said, in fact, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have eternal life. Oh, this made them furious.
Right.
It would have made me kind of furious too, if you think about it. If you don't have, it's easy to read the Bible now and say, why didn't they understand? Well, there must have been some things that have been hard for us to understand too, you know.
Right.
He said, you gotta eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they got so upset with him. And they murmured against him. And they got to the point in our scripture text where we started reading in verse 60 where they were now through with him. These are some of the same people who got fed on that mountainside the day before. These same people who came looking for him the next day and said, all we want to do is do what God would have us to do. And Jesus said, well, this is what God would have you to do. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. What was he saying? You have to identify with me. You have to believe in me so much and become a part of me. He wasn't saying you literally had to do that. He's saying, but you have to be so connected to me. That's the only way you're going to have eternal life. Now, some people don't like that. They think everybody gets to heaven. But Jesus said, no, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Now, some people don't like that. But how many of you know, just because you don't like a thing don't mean that changes the thing. You just don't like it. But it's the truth, amen? And so when he said to them, and he talked in this way that to really grab their attention, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, they got to the point where they were outraged with him. And that's when we picked it up at verse number 60. And look what they said about it. They said, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying, they said. Well, they're saying, this is hard. This is hard. See, the stuff you're teaching and trying to teach, say to us now, this is hard. Amen. They said, who can hear this? I want to hear this stuff. You're talking about drinking your blood and eating your flesh. This is a hard saying. And he said to them, he said, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And the scripture tells us, amen, that after Jesus says unto them, he says, look, I am, you know, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Right? But some of you believe not. And it says that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know why? Because they didn't believe him. Right? They didn't believe him. But see where they started. The first thing they said was, this is a hard saying.
Yeah.
See, there are some things that God says to us that are hard to accept. You know? And sometimes you don't realize they're hard to accept until you have to listen to them.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? Well, see, when God teaches you about forgiveness and nobody has done anything to you, that's easy. Oh, but when somebody betrays you, and now the lesson on forgiveness comes back to your remembrance, it can be a hard saying. Oh, when we sit in here and everything going nice, all the word is easy. We say amen to everything. Oh, but when life finds us, how many of you know life will find you sometimes? And when life finds you and you're in those tough places and the word of God now says, forgive them. Oh, that's a hard saying, Lord. Your lips don't even move. Your teeth are so clenched, right? That's a hard saying, God. You need to forgive them. Some women, they marry, as long as their husband's doing right, everything's good. But then they start acting a fool, and they want to start doing their own stuff, and the word comes back, submit unto your own husband. That's a hard saying, Lord. Huh? Your child is disrespecting you to your face. And the word says, don't be bitter toward them and harsh toward them. And you go, why? That's a hard saying. Many of us don't know that we have enemies until somebody turns on us sometimes, right? You may think that person was your friend, and then you find out they're coming against you. And the Bible tells you, you got to do good to your enemy. Those can become hard sayings, sir. Things get hard sometimes. But watch this. It's not just the word of God that are hard. Sometimes it's the circumstances in your life that are hard sayings. You know, like when the money don't add up. That's a hard saying. Right? When your relationships are going kaplooey, amen, and you have to look at the wreckage of your life. That's a hard thing. Your life is speaking to you, amen. And it's saying some hard stuff to you. Relationships messed up. Finances messed up. Hopes and dreams dashed. You're going to be 50 next year, and you're still in that job that you thought you were going to be far beyond this by now. And you look around, and that's a hard saying. Devil attacks you sometimes, and things are hard, right? Steal your health. Steal your finances. Steal your joy. And life is hard sometimes. Amen. Don't mean you don't love the Lord in order to, life can be hard sometimes. So what do we do when things get hard? Well, we see one thing for sure. Some people stop walking with Jesus. Right? They turn back and they go back to their former life. Right? And why do they do that? Jesus says right here, amen, he talks about them. And he says that they, he said in verse 64, there are some of you that believe not. It's easy to believe God when it doesn't cost you anything. Amen? It's easy to believe God when there's no opposition to what you believe. It's easy to believe God, he gives you health and healing when you have health. Oh, but when that sickness reaches your door and you can't shake it, do you still believe God as a healer?
Right.
It's easy to believe God as a provider when you're paying all your bills on time and you have something left over. But what happens, amen, when the money is low and the bills are due and you can't pay them? And folks are calling you on the phone. And your children had a nerve to keep growing. And they still want something to eat. Unbelievable. And they still want heat in the winter. Are you kidding me? Amen?
Right.
What happens then? When what you believe now is directly challenged by your circle, when life gets hard, some people give up. And they walk the other way. And they try other things. Finances aren't adding up, don't they say? Automatically they just say, well, I got to get another job. And maybe you do. Or maybe you need to change something else in your life. Huh? Because how many of you know sometimes money ain't the issue when you have money issues?
Right.
There are people who make a whole lot of money who got money issues. Because
right.
They don't manage the money right. I don't care how much money you make. Put it this way. If you spend more than you bring in, you're broke. Do you know you can be a broke millionaire?
Because
you make a million, but you spend a million and a half. You grow. Sometimes money is not the issue. Right? But some people, the money don't add up, they figure right away, I got to do something else. And what happened? They break away from God, don't check in with Him anymore, don't ask Him what to do, but now they go and do something. And they go away. And sometimes people leave the church. But now they're working on Sundays. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
sometimes they leave God, but they're working so much that they leave off reading their word and fellowshipping and praying with them because they're working so hard.
Right.
They walk away. See, and that's what some people do when life gets hard. When things get hard, they walk away from God. How many of you know that is the absolute worst thing you can do? When things get hard, you don't need to walk away from God. You need to cling to Him even the more. But some of them walked away from God. That's one camp. There's a second camp, amen, when things get hard. And Jesus talks about it in verse 70, where He says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And He would talk about Judas Iscariot, amen.
Mm-hmm.
A chosen devil, amen. Jesus chose all 12, including the devil. He knew what Judas Iscariot was going to do. But look what He says here. He said, He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray Him, being one of the 12. When things get hard, one camp we can go in is walking away from the Lord. Now, most Christians are going to say to themselves, well, I would never walk away from God. So now you feel pretty good right now, but that doesn't include you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But maybe you're like Judas. Amen. Mm-hmm. Judas didn't walk away. He stayed.
Yeah.
But he still betrayed Him.
Wow.
Not everybody who stays is faithful.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, you didn't walk away, it don't mean you're faithful.
Wow.
You can stay and still betray.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And that's what He did. He betrayed. How did he betray Jesus? Now some will say, well, because He turned Jesus in. No. He betrayed Him before that. He betrayed Jesus when He went to the religious leaders and made a deal with them for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus, yes. Yep.
He only stayed because He believed that He can use Jesus for His benefit.
Wow.
Right? And when He found out that Jesus wasn't bringing in the kingdom that he thought, then he went and he sold Him out, right? But why did he stay? He was there for his own self-interest. I want you to know there are some people who come to church and they come to Jesus only because of what they think Jesus can do for them.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir. See, when life gets hard, amen. See, there's some people going, yeah, they're coming to Jesus, but don't, Lord help me. And if God does what you want, after he does what you want, you are gone. You remember those 10 lepers? Mm-hmm. At the gate? All of them crying for Jesus. Yep. Son of David, have mercy on us. Mm-hmm. All 10. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you can call him Son of David now. Why? Because you need something. Jesus. So now here you are all up in Jesus' face.
Jesus.
Mm. Go show yourself to the priest. And so there they go. They go walk and show themselves to the priest. And the word says that as they went, they were cleansed. Amen.
Amen.
Got exactly what they wanted. But only one of them came back.
Amen.
Who? The Samaritan. And they said he came back with a loud voice, glorifying God and worshiping him. And Jesus looked at him and said, weren't there 10 of you that were cleansed? But where are the 9?
Yes. Amen.
They don't need you no more, Jesus, that they got what they wanted.
Amen.
Amen? And there are a lot of people like that, amen? Oh, they're all up in Jesus' face because they want something from him. Now, we all need him, amen? Don't get me wrong. But see, but, there's a difference between you wanting to be in the Lord's presence because you love him, and you are there simply because you want him to do something for you.
Right, come on,
there's a big difference, amen?
Yes,
and there are a whole lot of people when life gets hard, oh, they're all up in Jesus' face, amen? Oh, they're praying, oh, they're fasting, oh, they're reading, oh, they're in church, they're doing all these things. Oh, I need a job, I need a job. And then God answers, and then boom, they're gone. Those are betrayers, amen.
Wow.
Those are betrayers. Why? Because they're not there for the reason that they're putting forth. As if they love the Lord. They're betraying him, amen. So when life gets hard, there are some people, they don't leave, they don't walk away. They stay until life gets easy. Until life gets better.
Right.
And then when life gets better, guess what? They're gone. Amen. That's the second camp. The third camp when life gets hard are the other disciples, amen, where Jesus said unto them in verse 67, will ye also go away? You gonna walk away too? You don't like what I'm saying to you. You don't like my teaching. You don't like what I'm saying. You don't like what your life is saying right now. See, some people love the Lord as long as their life says the right thing. My marriage is good. My money is good. My job is good. I'm driving good. I'm living good. And then, for reasons that, you know, we don't even have to get into, things start to not be so good. Now, amen, life is hard. You gonna walk away too?
I love
the Lord, amen. He don't pull no punches. He looks you right in your face. You gonna walk away too? He know who walked away. You're not telling about Sister So-and-so who hasn't been in church since last, you know, Christmas. He knows that.
Amen.
Yeah, I bless Sister So-and-so with that job and now I haven't seen her back in church. I know that. You gonna walk away too? Jesus don't pull no punches, amen. He knows who's faithful and he knows who is not. He knows who are the chosen, you know, the chosen disciples, and he knows who the chosen devils are too.
Wow.
He ain't pulling no punches. He said, did not choose you 12, and one of you is a devil? He don't say, and one of you is not a very nice person. No. He said, and one of you what? Is the devil. Jesus knows. So now here he comes. So he comes up to you. You're going to walk away too. How many of you know that question is bringing down from heaven every time hard things come to our life? Jesus comes in front of you and says, you're going to walk away too? Amen. But why? Don't you know that when it comes to God, we got to make a choice? Amen.
Yeah.
We're either in or we're out.
Right.
Huh? We got to draw the line. There's no in-between place where the relationship with God. Jesus says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's no wide road to Jesus. It's a narrow road, amen? Which means your steps have to be precise. You don't have any wide road where you can go walking all carelessly and everything. No, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You gonna go away too? Everybody else gone? Got this devil over here looking to see what he can get out of me. He think I don't know that the minute thing that I don't do what he want, he gonna be out of here. Or I give him what he wants, he's gonna be out of here. But either way, pretty soon he gonna be out of here. You think I don't know that? Some other jokers done already left. You gonna leave too?
God don't talk like that. He's gentle and kind.
Okay. You know what time it is, amen. Are you gonna leave too?
Right.
And Peter says to him, amen. Peter says to him, Lord, where are we gonna go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know that you are the Christ. We're sure of that. You are the Son of the living God. We are not going anywhere.
Amen.
It may be hard right now, and maybe we don't even understand what you said, but we're still going to hang in here with you. We are not going anywhere. So you see something here, amen. There's three choices we have when life is hard. Mm-hmm. Amen. In our relationship with God. We can run the other way. Amen. We can stand there acting as if we have our allegiance to God, but just looking for our exit, either after we get what we want or He doesn't give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Or we hang in there till the end. Amen? Amen. Which camp are you in today?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to ask ourselves those questions every time life gets hard, because life will get hard. Amen? There are going to be times and things that come into our life that are going to be hard, and what are you going to do? But listen, if you really love God, the choice really is no choice. You have to hang in there with God. Amen?
Amen.
You have to just dig in your heels and be flat-footed and saying, Lord, amen, I'm here, amen?
Amen.
I'm here all the way. Come what may, amen. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, amen. I may be going through some things right now, but Lord, I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
I'm not moving off this spot. Life might be hard right now. It may not be going the way I thought it should. It may not be going to plan. It seems like everything's going haywire, but Lord, I'm staying right here. And I'm going to serve you. Why? Because I know and I'm sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else am I going to go?
Amen.
And I really think people who leave, they don't think about that part. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? No one's been saved their whole life. Right? And you know, some got saved from a child, some got saved as a teenager, some got saved as a full-fledged adult. But it may be good to think sometimes of what your life was before you got saved or before you knew God the way you knew Him now.
Wow.
I guarantee you, your life's better now than it was then.
Amen.
I guarantee you. I'm not saying it's perfect, but your life is better now than it was then. And if that's the case, then the choice is simple. I'm staying with the best.
Amen. Amen.
I ain't going back to that old life. And the devil's only trying to entice you to come back.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Or to lead the life with God. Amen. It's too hard. You hear people say that sometimes. This is too hard. You know why? Because it's a life of sacrifice. And it's a life of isolation sometimes. And it's a life, amen, of obedience and suffering and all those types of things. Yeah, that's part of it. But all the rewards of having a relationship with the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right, right. Amen.
Amen. Where are you going to go to get that? You have to stay and endure hardness, the Bible says, like a soldier of Jesus Christ. Just because life is hard, you have to endure the hardness. Amen. Now, let's look at a few scriptures, amen, to strengthen us in our faith when life is hard. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul knows a little bit about hard life, amen. I'm just reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, Paul talks about, amen, how he was shipwrecked, how he was whipped, how he was hungry, how he suffered cold, and the betrayal of people who were supposed to be his friends. He talks about all kinds of things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul in verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side. Now just think about that for a second. Some of us have troubles. Very few of us have troubles on every side.
Yes.
You know what trouble on every side means? Everywhere you look.
Wow.
There's a problem. You look in your house, problem. Maybe you don't even have a house to look at. Look in your finances, problem. Look at your relationship, problem. Your kids, problem. Your spouse, problem. Your money, problem. Your health, problem. So I'm not going to have that testimony.
Wow.
Amen. But he said, I look everywhere I look, I'm troubled on every side. But the most important thing, he says this, yet not distressed. Mm-hmm. Hmm? What's he saying? Life can be hard for me right now, but I'm still not stressed out.
Amen.
And this is from somebody who's troubled with on
every
side. He said, and but we're not distressed.
Right, right.
Huh? He said, we are perplexed. What does that mean? That means you don't understand what's going on. Why aren't things working? Why are people treating me this way? Why can't I get out of this situation?
Wow.
You ever be perplexed where you don't understand why life is treating you the way life is treating you? He said, yeah, I'm perplexed, but look at this. He said, I'm perplexed, but what? But I'm not in despair. So I ain't going around going, I don't know what those words are, but you know what that means. Right? I'm perplexed. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm not in despair.
Amen.
I'm not about to give up and hang up and to throw in the towel and amen and call it a day because it's no use. Amen? I just don't understand it. What else he said? He said, I'm persecuted. But I'm not forsaken. Why? Because God is still with me. Others are against me, but what? God is still with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I may be cast down. Amen. Somebody, I'm thrown down. Sometimes life gets the better of you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. People act like they always on top. No, sometimes life is on top.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I said sometimes. Nothing. Amen. There's some time.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we should be winning. Amen.
Amen.
But there's those sometimes in life, amen, where, you know, and it maybe it's all momentary, but when that happens, he said, but I'm still not destroyed.
Right?
So what's he saying? He said, life is hard. I got troubles everywhere. Amen. I don't understand what's going on. People are attacking me. I'm knocked down, but guess what? I'm not stressed out. Come on, somebody. I'm not stressed out.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not at the point of giving up. Amen. I'm not forsaken, so I'm not standing around here giving a pity party on myself, because I know God is still with me. And I'm not destroyed. Amen. So, I was talking to my wife yesterday. There was a wasp flying around the backyard. It took her a little while, but she finally got it. She said, right? And he was in between the crack in the
ground.
Ground, yeah. And she went, no. And I was standing out there reading, and then I came, and as I came, I walked past him, and he was still moving a little bit. He's still moving. So I got him out the crack, and I said, okay, that's it. No, you ain't moving no more.
Right, right, right.
But he was still moving. Now, I don't know how hurt he was or not, amen, but he was still moving, and maybe he was on his way out. I don't know. But see, all I know is this, amen. The devil may cast us down and beat us down, but long as you still move.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Long as you still moving.
Yes.
Long as you don't just totally give up, amen, when life gets hard.
Right.
See, God can infuse you with some new strength, some new mercy, some new compassion, amen,
right,
that allow you to rise up off the deck and get the victory today that you couldn't get yesterday.
Yes, amen.
Amen. But some of us stop moving. I mean, even that while he probably didn't, there's no hope for him. He didn't know I was going to take ready to finish the job. But he was still moving.
Amen.
And how much the more should we keep moving, amen, even though we've been knocked down and life has dealt us a bad hand. You still keep lifting up your hands, amen. You still put your hands to the work of God. Don't walk away. Where are you going to go? Amen. Life gets hard sometimes. I want to ask you to turn with me to a couple more scriptures. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. Because life does get hard. Amen. And if it's not hard now, you'll hit a patch. Amen. And this is not something that should make you not feel good. Just get prepared, amen, and know that the testing of your faith will come, right? Because there's some places that God wants to bring us that we can't get there without that kind of a testing, amen.
Amen.
Let's look at Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Again, God getting straight to the point. He ain't sugarcoating it, amen. When life gets hard and you just simply faint, your strength is small.
Wow.
That's what God is saying. Amen. And see, sometimes we got to look at it, amen. We got to look at ourselves. How many of you want to have small strength? I don't want God talking about me like that.
Right.
Your strength is small. I don't want Him talking about me like that.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want God talking about me like that. So, you know what that means? In the day of adversity, I can't faint.
Right.
I can't afford to faint.
Right.
I don't want God saying to me, my strength is small.
Right. Amen.
I don't like that. So if adversity comes, I'm going to do a whole lot of things, but one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to faint.
Amen.
I'm going to keep moving. Amen? I'm not going to give up. When things get hard, what's God saying to you? Don't give up. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are not a person of small strength. Amen? You have the strength of God residing on the inside of you. You are not a person of small strength.
Right, that's right.
The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you.
Yes.
You are not a person of small strength.
Yes.
Don't let the devil lie to you, amen. You are ready for the day of adversity, amen.
Yes.
You were born for the day of adversity. When trouble arises, you say, "Look, this is a chance for God to be glorified in my life."
Mm.
It ain't time for me to go running and hiding and fainting. People, I thought he was such a man of God.
Mm.
I thought he had such strong faith. Then the minute some trouble came, he divorced his wife, left his kids, left town. Why? Because people talk. Your strength is small, amen? How many of you know, amen, you can say out loud, I don't have small strength.
I don't have small
strength. Mm-mm. I have the power of the living God on the inside of me. I don't have small strength. I'm ready for the day of adversity. When things get hard, I'm going to be ready by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Why? Because Jesus told me these days are coming. I don't expect things to be easy. Do you? If you're walking with God, you should expect things to be hard. Because the enemy don't want you to have and to be the things that God wants you to have and to be. You should expect it to be hard. And we were talking, and we said about the enemy. The enemy was always attacking. And our response to me, every time he attacked us, I knew you were coming.
Amen.
Amen. I knew you were coming. Not, oh, the enemy did it. Like, what? I knew you were coming.
Right.
Amen? And I'm right here waiting for you to take you on. Come get some.
Right. Amen.
Right? He said he looks to steal, to kill, and destroy. So guess what? He's going to come. So when he comes to your house, why are you surprised? You should say, I knew you were coming. And I'm waiting for you. And when he, when he know you waiting for him and you stand in your ground like a child of God, a child of faith, he's going to hightail it out of there. Because he hates resistance. Amen. So listen, we are ready for the day of adversity. Amen. We were formed and fashioned for the day of adversity. Some of the things God allowed you to go through in your past was so that you could successfully overcome the adversity that's ahead in your life.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? God is working in you for that day of adversity. Yes. Don't shrink away from it. You are more than enough.
Yes.
Amen. You are more than enough. Well, last scripture I want to ask you to turn to, amen, is Philippians chapter 4. Amen. If you turn there, remember the words of James, amen. James said, amen, that we count it all joy. Right? When we go through various trials, various temptations, that word will be translated trials, right? Because we're going to go through some stuff, but count it all joy. Amen. That's one of those mind-renewing scriptures, amen. Your mind has to be renewed to accept that scripture. Count it all joy when you're going through some stuff. Amen. But I said, why? Because it's the trying of your faith that produces patience or perseverance. Amen. We're going to go through some stuff. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We know verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. But let's look at verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, amen, and I know how to abound. Now the Amplified says, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. When things are straitened, you know what that means? That you don't have enough. It's tight. Amen. But then he says, I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Now, one of the things that we need to focus on here is Paul says in both the verses, amen, in the Amplified, of how he learned to be content. He said, I learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. There are some things we have to learn. And we only learn them by going through them. Amen. And so like when Jesus now is talking to these disciples, and the saying gets hard, life gets hard, and now they want to walk away, they now lose the opportunity to learn anything. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to say to you, like some people say, God puts hard things in your life to teach you a lesson. No, I'm not saying that. But there are lessons to be learned. I'm not saying, amen, there are lessons to be learned. It's not about teaching you a lesson. It's about forging your character so that His purpose can come through in your life.
Right.
And there's some things that can be learned in no other way than the going through that trial, going through that situation or that circumstance. And then you can get to the point of verse 13 where you can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
Amen. But I want you to know, amen, I believe by faith that every last one of you are in the third camp. When life gets hard, you don't walk away from God. Amen. I believe that. I confess that by faith. Amen. When life gets hard, you don't stay next to Jesus just so you can get something from Him. Because you truly do love Him and know, amen, that if He did nothing else for you, He's already done enough. And if He does nothing else for you, you will still serve Him until the day you go up to glory. Amen. I believe that. Amen. And so I also believe then that you're in that camp like Peter where you say, where are we going to go? I'm staying right here. When life gets hard, I'm planting myself even that more firmly in the vineyard of my God.
Yes,
amen? I'm not going anywhere. Amen? Why? Because He has the words of life.
Right.
He's going to teach me things and I'm going to learn things and He's going to bring me up out of things. And He will be glorified in my life as I endure this hardness like a good soldier.
Amen.
Amen. When life gets hard, amen, I get harder. I'm just going to come back fighting that much harder. I'm going to believe that much harder. I'm going to pray that much harder. Amen. I'm going to serve with that much more energy. Amen. I'm going to do more.
Right, right, right.
Because the enemy wants you to pack it in.
Yes.
Yep. Why? Because life is hard. That little lie, I ain't packing it nothing. Come on, somebody. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So life is hard sometimes, y'all. Amen. But guess what? We still are on the winning side as long as we stay with Christ.
Amen.
And understand the enemy's whole goal is to get you to either walk away or to stay, but don't really be committed to Him.
Yeah.
Amen. But he knows both of those end up in defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to Judas. He saved, right? But we know what happened to him.
Yes.
What about the disciples who walked away? We never hear from them again.
Right.
Huh? But we still talk about Peter.
Right.
We still talk about the other disciples who stayed. We still talk about John. Huh? We still talk about Matthew. Right? But those who stayed, amen, they have everlasting life. We're going to be talking, they'll be talking about you forever.
Right.
Because you stayed, you endured the difficult times. When life got hard, you stayed with God. Amen?
Amen.
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 That's our testimony today. Amen. So, listen, I don't mean life's hard for you today, but this one thing, this is a word of encouragement and strength for you for the future. Amen? So when things do get hard, you go, okay, I knew this was coming. My mind's already made up.
Right.
I'm staying with God. Lord, what will you have me to do?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Because you know the other two choices lead to nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'm going to stay with God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to stay with God. Life does get hard sometimes. Amen. All you got to do is ask Paul and he tell you, amen. Yeah, all you got to do is ask anybody. You didn't got to ask Paul. Ask somebody you know.
Amen.
You've been walking with God long enough.
Right.
He'll tell you. Huh? And here's the wonderful thing. When you can go through these types of things with God, and people later on say to you, I had no idea you were going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you know you went through it the right way, amen?
Amen?
You went through it the right way. They say, I had no idea. See, I think that's the best thing, amen? When you have, when life gets hard for you, that you ain't all over town telling people how hard life is.
Right.
So that's showing that you ain't, you not really believing God
right.
in your situation. Amen?
Amen?
When life is hard, you go through it and then you tell people after. Oh yeah, you know, 6 months ago, man, this happened to me, that happened to me. What?
Right.
I had no idea. And they, now they're looking at you, now they're really impressed, not so much with you, but how God kept you and blessed you, and you had such a good countenance, and you were still standing strong, and you were still serving God, and you were still faithful, you were still helping people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Now God gets some glory out of that.
Yes.
He's looking for people who are ready to endure hardness. I'm ready to endure hardness. How about you? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the reward is great. Come on, let's rest on our feet, and then we're going to have our communion today. Amen. And we are going to partake of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're not going to say it's a hard thing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise, God. We know everything doesn't go smooth and easy for the children of God. That is not the testimony you have promised unto us. Sometimes, Lord, life gets hard, oh God. And Father, we don't know what to do sometimes. And sometimes, God, we would rather it not come into our lives. But Father, you promised through the Lord Jesus Christ that we would have tribulation, that we would go through suffering. Jesus himself learned to be obedient by the things he suffered. And so, Father, we know that it is part of our testimony, our heritage, as children of the Most High God, that we will go through some tough times. But Father God, we have made up our mind already, God, that no matter how hard things get, we are not going to walk away. We will not betray you, O God. But Father, we shall stand faithful to you and to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will endure the hard times with gladness, knowing that we have victory. We're like Paul. We are troubled on every side, but we are not stressed out. We are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Yes.
Cast down, but we are not destroyed.
Yes.
Because we have victory through Christ Jesus. You, Lord Jesus, have the words of everlasting life. And so we stay put, firmly anchored in God, no matter how tough things may get. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that this testimony that we have offered up today, that you will seal it on behalf of all of your people here today, God, in the name of Jesus, that Father God, that we will show forth the proof and the fruit of this testimony in those tough times that are ahead. And Father, we thank you, God, that no matter what, we yet have victory in you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of preparation that you have given us today. That, Father God, that when those times come, we will not shrink, we will not shiver, but we will stand firm and stand fast and see the glory of God in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.